Good morning. We welcome you to Main Street United Methodist Church. If you're visiting with us, we extend a very special welcome to you and hope that you'll register your attendance when the attendance pad is passed to you. At this time, let us spread the love of the Lord by passing the peace to one another. Let's pass the peace. I'd like to call your attention to all the special opportunities that are listed in your bulletin. There are a lot of them this week, and we're not going to go into detail with them, but there are a lot of things that are happening here at Main Street, and we hope that you'll take the chance and the opportunity to join in and have a good time with everything that's going on, especially mention the gatherings that are happening on Wednesday night. And I have a special announcement, or request, actually, that comes from our softball team. They're playing against St. Mark on Thursday night at 6:30 at the First Assembly Church, and they want cheerleaders. So if you're available and you like softball, go out and support our softball team. They're having a great time in representing our church, and so hopefully you can go and join in. Now let us prepare our hearts and mind to accept the Spirit and the grace of God into them.
Please stand and join in the call to worship. Come, let us remember God's presence with us. Let us give ear to all that God would teach us. Our ancestors have told us about God's might. They have celebrated God's wondrous deeds. In the wilderness of Sinai, God provided water. Throughout the sea, God provided safe passage. Yet the Israelites questioned God's presence. They needed assurance amid their doubts. Our doubts can lead to honest searching. God welcomes questions that seek new truth. We want to see God's larger picture. We're here to broaden the scope of our concern.
Please join in the unison invocation found in your bulletin. We marvel, O God, at the thought you care about us. We are amazed that the Creator of the universe would take on human flesh to draw near to us in ways we could not begin to understand. As Jesus emptied himself to serve, modeling your love even in the face of death, we seek in these moments to lay aside self-interest that we might take direction from you. Help us to humble ourselves in order to obey you, to listen in order to hear, to care in order to serve. Lead us day and night through the dangers of the wilderness of our times. Lead us in these moments to honest and fervent worship. Amen. Let us confirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Pastor Terry Martin is away on vacation today, and it is our joy to welcome Bob Huggins as our guest minister. You'll find some biographical information on him in your bulletin. Please make him feel welcome. Take time to speak with him following the service. I do need to pass on a couple of pieces of information about members of our church family, some sad news. First, Glenn Burkhart passed away this past Thursday. This will be a graveside service on Monday at 2 o'clock at the M.J. Dolly Cooper Veterans Cemetery in Anderson. Visitation will be this afternoon at Blith Funeral Home from 3 to 5. Secondly, Emily Haskins passed away yesterday. That visitation is also at Blith and also today. That is from 6 to 8 p.m. this evening. That service will be tomorrow morning, Monday morning at 11 o'clock in the chapel at Blith, with interment to follow at the Oak Brook Memorial Park. Please keep members of these families in your prayers.
Our Old Testament reading is Job chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. The New Testament reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you bow in prayer? Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we have gathered to worship and to praise your name, we are truly blessed, for we have a Savior, and his name is Jesus. We thank you for his blood. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you for your love, your compassion, your mercy and grace. Heavenly Father, as we gather to worship you, to honor you for all that we are to do in our life and breathe and in breath, it is to honor you and to worship you. Even though often we fail, we fall short. We really do very little, and you deserve better. But Heavenly Father, help us to truly draw closer to you, to give more, to do more and to be more. Heavenly Father, we ask your presence with those that have lost loved ones recently. Heavenly Father, those that are infirmed, the hospitals, the nursing homes, that are struggling with their health. Heavenly Father, the poor, the homeless. Heavenly Father, the lost. Heavenly Father, allow your presence to be felt here this morning. That by the words that are read, the music that is sung, the message that is shared, that it will touch our hearts in a way that will change someone, somehow, some way. That they will know you truly for the first time. Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful and we are blessed. And Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught his disciples and us to pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now continue our worship with our tithes and our offerings.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we truly ask your blessings upon these gifts. We truly ask your blessings upon the givers. May these gifts be used to glorify your kingdom now and forevermore. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
How is everybody today? As the children come up, they're collecting change to go to Heifer Project. And we have boxes up here so you can spread out and put them in a box that's not being used. There you go. Have a little bit of a slim crowd today, but that's okay. We have some very special news. God is good. Do you know that both of the scriptures that have already been used today and read, of course, come from the Holy Bible, which is God's instruction book for us, and both of them say, no matter what, God is going to be there, right there beside you. No matter how hard times get, no matter how sad you get, no matter how hurt you get, and no matter how hard life gets, God is going to be right there with you. And that is really a comfort. The families that we are able to help through Heifer International might have prayed for a very long time for God to send them help. And they are families that live all over the world. And we may not know where they are, but they don't have anything. They live in a house that might have a dirt floor. They might not have running water in their house. When you want to wash your hands, what do? You go to a sink. But the people that are getting the animals that we're collecting money for don't have water in their homes. So it is very important. It's a very important ministry. So just like we pray for things and we know that our God isn't going to leave us, the people who are receiving these animals also have prayed that God help them in their situation. So we've already sent money for, do you know? What have we sent money for? A sheep, a llama, and a goat. That's right. In fact, when you all collected money for a sheep, there was a member of the congregation who came to me and said, when the children get enough money to buy a sheep, I'm going to buy a goat. So we were able to do that. A couple of weeks ago, somebody called and said, I want to give $50 so that we can finish paying for that llama. And they did. And now we have almost $100 already in the 2 or 3 weeks that we've been collecting for a heifer, a cow. And do you remember how much it's going to cost? $500. Does anybody else up here talk besides Cecilia? But it costs $500, so we're already 20% there. So that is great. So keep doing those chores around the house and getting that change. But what I want you to remember is that these people pray to the same God that we pray for, and they pray for help. You need to remember that God is always, always there. He's there through good times, and he's there through bad times and hard times. So let us go to God in prayer. Dear God, thank you for always being there beside us to support us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, all the first graders are going out with me for worship readiness, and all the preschoolers are going out with Miss Kathy and Miss Susan for extended session. And if they will pick up the boxes.
Please remain standing for the reading of the Gospel. From the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. And when he entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, appealing to him and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed in terrible distress." And he said to him, "I will come and cure him." The centurion answered, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." And when Jesus heard him, he was amazed and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and will eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and in the kingdom of heaven, while the heirs of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion, Jesus says, "Go, and let it be done for according to your faith." And the servant was healed in that hour. May God add his rich blessings upon the reading of his holy word, for this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. It is truly an honor to be here at Main Street United Methodist Church in Greenwood. And the more I've as visiting this morning, the ties and the connections I've come to feel and experience. You have a beautiful church, a historical church, and you should be proud of it. It's one that I don't know how many of you get the Advocate, and I'm not trying to put on a sales or a commercial for the Advocate, United Methodist Advocate, but if you are a United Methodist, that is your communication, and I encourage you. And as I write a column in there called Methodism Revisited, I visit often a lot of the history of the church and of John and Charles Wesley. And as I continue on, my goal is to share with the life of the church and that that has developed in our country here and then, of course, in our own state. Again, you have an awful lot to be proud of, a beautiful sanctuary and a wonderful history. Glenn gave me a wonderful tour. He about wore me out. Where'd Glenn go? He about wore me out this morning trying to keep up with him. But I got a chance to go into your history room. And again, that's just something that is close to my heart when it comes to the church and history itself. So, again, I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be with you this morning. I want to share with you a couple of things, and as I was sharing with the early service, as I was talking to Terry first of the week, Terry and I have known each other for a number of years when we were in the Florence District and then the Hartsville District, and I saw the opportunity and the windows opened, and I called Terry one day and I said, Terry, I need you to have something happen for me. I would love the opportunity to come and preach in your church. See, I asked him. And he said, well, you know what? He said, you know, I'm going to have a vacation date, and I've got to have somebody to fill in for me. So, hey, we can make it work. And because I have so many wonderful friends here, but most of all family, this is where I am blessed to have taken away one of your citizens, my wife, Rachel, that grew up here. 35 years ago, right across the street, we were married. And so Greenwood is special. My mother grew up in Saluda. And I met Rachel at Anderson College. So this part of the South Carolina is close to my heart. And so the opportunity is just very special this day. As I was sharing with the earlier group, my desire, I grew up along the coast. Most of you would envy me because I grew up only 30 miles as the crow flies from the beach. Not me, no. I would rather have the foothills and the mountains any day. And so my desire one day is to settle in this area of this beautiful state we have. But as Terry and I were sharing, he said, Bob, he said, now do you preach from the lectionary? And I said, Terry, I've tried. The Committee on Ordained Ministry has encouraged me, and I even for 6 months made an effort to preach from the lectionary. As I sat in the older adult class, is that correct, Glenn, this morning, and they do their Sunday school from the lectionary. And I said, Terry, I just never have been able to follow that type of rigidness. Most pastors do that, follow the lectionary. But I just allow the Holy Spirit to speak. I allow the things that are going on around me and the community and the church and things I see and experiences I've had to speak to me and tell me what needs to be shared for the next sermon. As I was sort of trying to think, what would I preach on this morning? Now, I'm telling on myself for the first time because my wife is sitting right down there, doesn't know this, but I was doing a little snooping. I was looking for something, the renter's check. The renter's check, we usually put it in the drawer. She rent our house from Johnsonville, and we keep it in a drawer, and I went to look to see, because she said she thought she'd already written it. Anyway, I came across a letter that Rachel had put aside. And it was a letter from her father, Earl Cowan. I am blessed to be his son-in-law. And it was a letter that was written to Rachel and I back in the year 2000. See, like many of us, we go through trials and tribulations in our lives, and we go through challenges that we need sometimes help. And Earl and T were helping us. And it was a letter written to Rachel and I, and he just kept saying everything's going to be fine, everything's going to be all right, and we'll get you through it and all. And then at the end of it, he said, keep the faith. Keep the faith. So this morning, I want to share with you a little bit about keeping the faith, or keep the faith. Often we hear and we hear that phrase casually, and that may even be one of these late 60s, early 70s things. And of course, the baby boomer generation, we had this symbol for peace, and we would say, keep the faith, baby. Keep the faith. As we read in the passage from the Gospel of John, we come across a man, a centurion, a Gentile, not even a Jew, that because he knew something about Jesus Christ, he believed in what Jesus was doing. He believed in the work of Jesus. His faith had been increased. Jesus himself shares with us in this writing about how amazing it is that this man, a centurion, not even a Jew, would have this much faith to come to him, Jesus, and ask Jesus for healing. Healing not in the present, not healing for himself, but healing for one of his servants. A servant that was far away. Having enough faith to believe that Jesus could heal. Having faith is a challenge because we wouldn't be here if we weren't born in the faith. If we didn't have a understanding that without faith we have nothing. But as I shared with the group this morning, I struggled with my own faith. One of the things that I was blessed with when I met Rachel's father and mother, and Rachel's father is just a wonderful man. Many of you know him. And I did it the old-fashioned way. Rachel was not in the room, and T was not in the room, and he and I were sitting there, and I did it the old-fashioned way. I asked him for his daughter's hand. I don't think they do that much anymore. They just go do it. And he asked me to do three things. He said, number one, take care of my daughter. Number two, take care of the children. And number three, find a church. Now, being good Presbyterians, he didn't say, come be a Presbyterian. He didn't say, go be a Methodist or Baptist or Episcopalian or Lutheran. He just said, go and find a church. Well, I followed those rules. Now, I stumbled along the way a couple times. I did my very best and continue to do to provide. And during our early years and in the early 90s, I struggled at times being able to provide. But because of the belief that there was one that could help me through no matter what difficulties I was facing or we face, the passage that Glenn read from Romans is the one passage that probably put me back on my feet at a time when I was pretty down. I'm a second career minister. That means that I did a lot of other things before I became a minister. I actually lived here in Greenwood and worked for Greenwood Packing for a while before I went to Smithfield Packing. But before then, I was struggling, and I had a minister in one of my lowest times tell me to open the Bible, turn to Romans 8:31, and he told me to read, What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Now, it wasn't an overnight revelation. It didn't happen at that very moment, but it was beginning of a growth process. And knowing that I had followed the words of Earl Cowan by being in the church and having been in the church and always there when the church door was opened, always willing to do everything that the pastor needed or wanted, always volunteer for every committee, always doing the very best I could for the church. But I had one problem. I did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ during those times. But then, after reading this passage, after being introduced to this passage, and then earlier in life, as the first time I was exposed to the rest of this passage was when T's brother, we called him Uncle Booty, was laid to rest in Abbeville. And I remember, I think he was one of the professors or president of Erskine College, came to do a graveside service. And when he shared with us the hopes and the beliefs in this passage, and let me share with him, finish it with you. He goes on to say, Paul does, "He who did not withhold his own son but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give up everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died. Yes, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed intercedes for us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long and we are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor heights nor deaths nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." Now, how do you tie that message in keeping the faith? Because as I have shared not once, not twice, but probably a half a dozen times in my pastoral year, with every congregation I've had, I'll continue to recite the one passage that has helped me get through no matter what I'm faced with, and I hope it will help you get through whatever you're faced with. And it is John 16:33. To paraphrase, we will, not you may, but we will have trials and tribulations. But be at peace, for I have overcome the world. Keep the faith. Life will throw you down. Life will give you problems. Life will give you distress. Life will give you tribulations. Times will be difficult. Tragedies will happen. I wake up every morning knowing that there will be a time, unfortunately, that yes, there may be a tragedy in my family. I have yet to face any tragedies lately, but it could happen at a drop of a hat. How will I react? How strong will my faith be? Mine's supposed to be untouchable. Listen, I'm up in the pulpit. I'm supposed to have all the answers. I don't. But I do my best at realizing and trusting and having faith in God Almighty through Jesus Christ that no matter what I'm faced with, no matter what happens to me or others or to you, that your faith will get you through. That it will deliver you from the depths of the darkness that you will face. Remember, I said you will, if you haven't already. And there may be other times that you will. John Wesley himself had to learn. He had to realize and have an understanding of what true faith was. When he was coming to America, he was on a ship with a number of Moravians, and he was struggling with his own understanding. A storm came up, and that group of Moravians during this storm didn't show fear. They didn't show that they were afraid that they might die any moment. John Wesley was. He was scared to death. These Moravians prayed and sang during a storm, knowing that any moment one of these waves may tip them over and they may be dumped into the depths of the sea. John Wesley was appalled. He could not understand. This was a man that was on a mission. This was a man that had a fellowship at Oxford College. This was a man that had an understanding that most people didn't about Christ, but didn't have that relationship himself. He soon learned how to speak German on that trip, where he could understand what true faith was. Many of you know, as I was talking to Glenn and sharing, we have a lot in common, St. John United Methodist Church and Main Street United Methodist Church. We are an aging congregation. Our average age at St. John is right at 68, average age. We celebrated in March out of roughly 120 members on our roll. We had eight that we celebrated 90th birthdays and above. But what we need to realize is that with our faith, with our past history, with what we have been confronted with, we have to understand that there is hope, that there is belief, that if we will continue to trust in God, much like Kathy Kelly was telling the children, there are people that are praying for a little bit of help, and they don't know when that help is going to come. They don't know when things are going to turn around. They have no idea when their prayers will be answered, whether it's going to be tomorrow or whether it's going to be next year or whether it's going to be how they want it answered or when it's going to be answered. But by praying and keeping the faith, their prayers were answered. They're going to soon receive a calf or a cow. They have received these others through the Heifer Project. Keeping the faith important. There was a missionary group, Robert and Mary Motford, that was a missionaries from the beginning of their early ministry. And they were in what is now Botswana. It was Bechuanaland in Africa. And they were discouraged. There was no one coming to faith. They were not able to change any of them and turn them the natives to Christianity. They wrote off to someone in Europe, a friend of theirs, sent them a message, "What can we do to help?" They wrote back, "It would be wonderful if we had a communion set." Yet they had no one to offer communion to. No one had been converted. The prayer was answered. Between the time the request for a communion set was asked and prayed for, six had been converted. They anxiously waited and set a date for a holy communion service. The day before, the communion set arrived. They kept the faith. They believed that it would happen. They could have given up. They could have thrown in the towel, but they didn't. Charles Wesley, that I write about often in the article, Methodism Revisited, shared with us one of his hymns. And it's that hymn that he talks about faith. And it goes like this: faith, mighty faith, the promises sees, and looks to that alone, laughs at life's impossibilities, and cries, "It shall be done." Main Street United Methodist Church, St. John United Methodist Church, the church itself needs to keep the faith. We need to truly believe that we can revive. We can come back. Young people can come back to the church. Families can come back to the church. The church is a place they need to be. We need to pray and we need to keep the faith. That day is coming. I truly believe it. We need to continue as Jesus said to those around him about this centurion, "I have never seen faith in one as I have in this man." Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we truly thank you that your word is word, and Heavenly Father, that this truly is your message. That Heavenly Father, if we will follow your advice, if we will follow your message, if we will believe in you, if we will keep the faith, if we will have that personal relationship, Heavenly Father, you will take care of the needs. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen. Would you please stand, hymn number 733, Marching to Zion.
Oh,
As Jesus sent the disciples out into the countryside to preach and to heal, so Christ sends us out to speak words of hope and to heal human hurt today.
We accept the mission to be God's people in the world.
Go on your way rejoicing in the presence of God's Spirit and in the power of the gospel of love and hope.